Well, perhaps you've heard the story. There was a great flood in the land, and a man was trapped on his roof. And as the flood waters rose, he called out to God, and he said, "God, save me. I'm a man of great faith, and I depend on your provision in my life. Save me, God." A few moments later, a rowboat with a couple rowed by and said, "Friend, we're taking others to safety. Come with us." And he says, No, I'm a man of great faith. I've prayed to God. God will provide." And the floodwaters rose. And a few hours later, a motorboat came by with a rescue team. And they said, "Friend, we are getting people to safety. Please come on board. We want to take you free away from harm." And he says, "I appreciate it, but God is coming." And the floodwaters rose. And a few hours later, a helicopter came and lowered a rope as the waters were nearing the very tip-top of the roof. And the helicopter pilot threw down the rope and said, "Take this, please. We are your last chance. We're getting all others to safety. Take the rope." And the man said, "I thank you, but God is coming." The floodwaters rose and consumed the man, and he drowned. He made his way to heaven, and he stood before God and angrily said, "God, what happened? You let me down. I've lived this tremendous life of faith, and I cried out to you in my deepest hour of need, and you did nothing." And God said, "Well, I sent a rowboat and a motorboat and a helicopter. What did you expect?" Today, as we continue to focus on the church, we've been in a series talking about the church. We ask the question, when is the church? And we're confronted by this scripture that shows us that the church is to bear witness to God's movement in the world. But it also bears witness to the fact that God's movement is often in unexpected places and at unexpected times. The scripture tells us that these places are often right in front of us, hidden in plain sight. And so our calling as the church is to be on watch, to be prepared, and to expect the unexpected. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for all that are gathered here and the inspirations of all of our hearts and minds that you've been placing a great work in for some time. Lord, as we gather today, I ask that the meditations of all of our hearts and the words of my mouth would be found acceptable in your sight, because God, we believe that you are our rock and our redeemer. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The parable of the 10 virgins found in Matthew 25 lays out a story of the importance of preparation. In no uncertain terms, Jesus tells us that there were some there that were wise and some that were foolish. And the foolish started out just as the wise did. They started out very strong, even had the right equipment with their lamps. But they were not prepared for a delayed arrival. In the scripture, it says that the bridegroom was delayed, and those that were foolish at the end of the story had not anticipated anything changing. And this is a powerful word for the church. We've got to equip ourselves to see, much like with a lamp full of oil, what is in front of us. The church's job is to equip itself in order to see what God is doing, and then to faithfully follow. In short, the church is called to get people ready to meet Jesus. But I want to be clear on this, that meeting Jesus is not just about talking about when your fate when you die. If the church were to be exclusively concerned about meeting God in the afterlife, then we'd be missing out on most of what Jesus calls us to, which is how to live and see God in the here and now. So in short, the answer to the question, when is the church, brothers and sisters, the church is now. But hold on, there's more. The church is now, quite literally now. We're in church. But we've discussed this before. The church is not only at this time, in this place, at this hour on a Sunday. Worship holds a central role in our spiritual formation, and this gathering is of the utmost importance to come with a community of believers to be formed and shaped and challenged and then sent out. It's a part of the equipping of the saints, but it's not the only part. It's a part of the equipping of the saints in order that we recognize where God is moving. But also, if you were here last week, Megan shared about what is the church. She shared that part of the church's call is to get up and go out, to go and break down the gates of hell and work towards living into justice, showing mercy, and sharing love. So the church is called out as well. And I'll call your attention to a personal story that happened here last fall. Many of you remember, as Hurricane Irma came through our part of the state, we canceled our Sunday morning gathering. And it would have been very easy to say to your friends and neighbors that church didn't happen that week. But I want to be very clear, and I was very careful with how I said the previous sentence. We canceled our Sunday morning gathering. Because to say that church didn't happen that week would be entirely false. I can stand up here and bear witness to you that church happened that week in the front yards of our friends and neighbors with chainsaws and trailers working to clear felled trees and debris. Church happened when we opened our doors that had AC and power to charge phones, and we shared water and snacks and coffee to our friends in the neighborhood who were still waiting for their power to come back on. Church happened in the phone calls to neighbors to check on their safety, and in the block parties where meals were grilled on charcoal grills with food that would otherwise go bad, where friends who may not have shared community in many months came together over a meal and shared that life together. Yeah, church happened, all right. We just had to have the eyes to see it, and we've got to be prepared to live into that. The parable of the 10 virgins is about being ready. It shows us that the kingdom shows up at unpredictable times, and part of our role as the church is to keep up and to keep enough oil in our lamps so that we have the light to see it when it happens. Jesus, if you pay attention to his ministry, especially and maybe only in the book of Matthew, certainly it happens other places, but just start with the book of Matthew. He spends a lot of time talking about how the kingdom of God shows up in smaller, more ordinary, more surprising ways than we might normally expect. So we are to be surprised by the kingdom and to always be ready. You'll notice that we're in Matthew 25 for our reading, and it strikes me as appropriate that later in Matthew 25 is a very familiar passage in all of Scripture, the separation of the sheep and the goats. Perhaps you remember that story. At the end of times, God separates two groups of people, one who honored Jesus and one who didn't in the ways that they treated others. We hear about each group is either rewarded or punished, but I want to point your attention to one thing. Each group asked the same question. They said, "Where was it that we saw you?" And the good and the holy folks, you know, were told that they treated those that were in need with respect and dignity. They cared for their needs, and the others did not do that. And we come to learn in that passage that that Jesus shows up in the hungry, the thirsty, the homeless, the sick, the naked, and those in prison. Not exactly who we might have expected, but we're called to keep our lamps trimmed and burning. Like I said, in the book of Matthew, Jesus refers to the kingdom of God, and let's just again, just in the book of Matthew, Jesus refers to the kingdom of God as the following: a mustard seed, yeast, treasure buried in a field, a net thrown into the sea, a man searching for pearls, a good shepherd, a wedding banquet. Jesus begins to focus our eyes, to focus on our vision, on how it is that God is at work right in front of us. We as the church are called to continue to focus our vision on what the kingdom of God is like. We are called to see here and now that God is moving amongst us, and how we get glimpses of heaven in our cupboards, in our gardens, in our fields, in our children, and in the ordinary and unexpected. These are the places that the kingdom is coming. And to answer the second part of when is the church, there's an important phrase there. The kingdom is coming. It's an active verb. It is still happening. There's a fancy terminology when we talk about the church and the kingdom as being the already and the not yet. We as the church bear witness to both, that God is at work amongst us and there is still more work to do. I want to point your attention to your diagram. If you're a first-time visitor, you're thinking, what in the world is this church? I thought I took geometry in high school. The geometric shapes have symbols. The triangle is symbolic of the kingdom of God. The square is the church, and the circle is the world. And you'll notice that there's a part of the church that is within the kingdom, but is outside of the world. And you're thinking, who is that? Well, truly, our understanding of the church must transcend our grasp of time and place. The church is now, but it's not just now. The church is also made up of the faithful, those great clouds of witnesses that have gone on to glory before us, those that have helped lead us to Christ and show us the ways of the kingdom. In our communion liturgy in the United Methodist Church, we acknowledge this when we say, "We, the people on earth and all of the company of heaven, join and praise and sing your unending hymn," right? We believe that through the sacraments, baptism and communion, we are connected to a larger community, an eternal table, one that transcends time and that connects us with the communion of saints. We are indebted to the witness that they give to us, and we take the mantle on ourselves and then look to pass it on to others. And I mentioned the communion liturgy. One of the last lines is one of my favorites. It says, "By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the whole world until." We don't pay much attention to that word, but "until" is a very important word in that sentence. Until Christ comes again in final victory, and we all feast at his heavenly banquet. Christ is coming, but until that happens, we've got work to do. We find ourselves in the here and the now of the church, seeking to shine a light on the movement of God all around us, preparing ourselves and others to meet Jesus, but often being surprised at when it is that God shows up. So today, brothers and sisters, as the church, let us acknowledge that if we only prepare ourselves to encounter Jesus at a specific time or a specific place, and that could be Sunday morning in a specific building, or that could be at the end of our lives and only at the end of our lives. If we only prepare to meet Jesus at a specific time and place, there is so much that we miss, either because we've run out of oil, we've fallen asleep, or we're running home to get more supplies, like the characters in our parable. Rather, friends, we are called to keep watch, to be those that wait through the night, that rush the gates of hell to visit the sick and the incarcerated, knowing that these are the things that allow us to encounter Christ here and now. So may we be those who do the work of preparing our hearts and minds and our ears and our eyes in order to meet Christ out in the world. May we recapture our spiritual imaginations, which to me in this season means thinking like a 2-year-old, thinking like a child, where we embrace a sense of wonder, a sense of awe in the world around us, where we dream that everything is possible, and where we learn to embrace the unexpected. Let's start to live like that. And in all of those pursuits, might we work towards being the church that equips its people with oil in their lamps to keep them burning, 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 right? Was everyone else expecting a reference to that song today? Laura helped me point that out to me this week. Give me oil for my lamps. Keep me burning, burning, burning. May we be those that keep our lamps burning, 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 holding up a light so that we can show the world where God is, and so that we, the church, here and now, can see the way to follow God out into our world. The already and the not yet. The here and now and the yet to come. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.